Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, and it is my honor and privilege to bring in my good friend, the golfaholic, which annoys the hell out of me because I haven't golfed in so long, Kevin McHale, who's off the course and on the mic and ready to go. Coach, as always, because we gave you a vacation again last week, we appreciate you joining us.
Well, no problem. Thanks, guys, for having me. Putting up with me.
Don't try to be that serious with us. How'd you shoot today?
Shot 81. Nice place. Troon Country Club. Just a little road trip and had a couple squirrely holes, but it was really a beautiful course. Boy, if you ever get a chance to come on here to Scottsdale, Troon Country Club is a fine, fine place to play.
I'll look forward to that complimentary round. I had said there was an anniversary right off the top this week of that big, epic matchup between your Celtics and Dominique's Atlanta Hawks, and just some of the memories you have of that just duel back and forth between Larry and Dominique and your team finishing off the Hawks.
Well, yeah, that was a heck of a game, man. Larry got on fire in the fourth quarter, so did Dominique. They were both making incredible shots. And, you know, I was guarding Dominique, and I was using my assignment. And, boy, I tell you what, I was ended up on him, just damn near blocking. He just got on fire. It was the quality of the shots that both those guys made through that stretch was unbelievable. And we ended up coming back, and you know, not coming back, ended up holding on and winning the game. But it was one of those ones where you get done and you just go like, wow, we're both guys just on fire. And I played a lot of games with Larry, just one of those classic moments when he just got on fire. Neek was always capable of just catching fire himself. So it was a fun game.
Well, you had the privilege of being in two big ones like that, because you had that game and then you had the game where Jordan came out with, 63 against you guys in a first-round series. I believe it was best of three back then.
Best of five. Because we ended up beating them, the best of five back then.
Okay.
So we ended up beating them in game three at in Chicago. I swept them. But yeah, he came out and he dropped like 47, I think, somewhere around there in the first game. And in the second game, he dropped 63. And then as a team, we decided we better double-team this guy. And we better take the ball out of his hands. And we ended up beating him pretty handily up in Chicago. But those first two games, we kind of just played him head up and didn't really have, you know, what later became, you know, Jordan rules. We double-teamed him all the time that third game. Like, he literally was just played so well, was making jump shots, driving. You know, he was, you know, back then, just you know, he settled for a lot more turnaround fadeaways later on in his career. But then it was just this relentless attack to the hole. And it was you know, he put on an amazing performance. I think we ended up beating him in overtime in game two. And after that game, Casey Jones said, "All right, guys, we better get serious with these guys. We got to get the ball out of that guy's hands." And we went to Chicago and we took care of business.
Where are you on all this Jordan, LeBron? Everybody keeps bringing it up and making the comparisons. And LeBron with an off night the other night, and they saying Jordan never had a night like that. And you know, the millennials are all in the LeBron camp. But you know, you can talk about greatest of all time. But where are you on that comparison, LeBron, Jordan, and where they stack up?
Well, you know, Michael was a better scorer and just a better late game type player. Michael, you know, it's crazy to say because LeBron ended up scoring more points than but Michael was a scorer. You know, Michael, he could do everything else. He could defend. He could do, but he could flat out just score the ball. And he was a better scorer than LeBron. LeBron's a better rebounder. And LeBron's a better passer. And LeBron's well, they both are really good defenders. Michael can guard bigger guys too. He was strong, really long. But if I had to take one, I always say this: if I had to play with one of them, I'd play with LeBron. LeBron. It just was like Magic and Larry. You know, if you get it going, he'll let you get 40. Michael was a scorer. Michael, you know, he wanted the ball. I mean, you know, and he could pass it. And he had a lot of multiple. You know, he had a lot of games where he had 10 plus assists. But Michael was a scorer. But overall, if you say that I had an average team and I wanted to become a great team, you know, I mean, I think Michael is just going to bring you home on so many games. But you know, LeBron, if you said, boy, I have four All-Stars and we want someone to fit in, I think LeBron would fit in with a team like that better than Mike. So they're both amazing. I mean, it's just I still say that, you know, in the last 2 weeks of a close game and you had to choose a guy, you could not choose Michael. And then I'm just going to throw this out there for all the fans. Don't everybody sleep on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, please. He never gets mentioned in this thing, but Kareem was as good as it got in our league.
Wasn't it funny from a scoring perspective? Mailman and Kareem are two guys that never come up, and they're the two all-time leading scorers in NBA history.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's amazing. And like I said, you know, Michael would score from such different ways. But if you said that, Michael had the ball at the right elbow where he really liked to operate, or Kareem had the ball at that left low post, that right low post where he liked to operate, and they both had the ball. Kareem's going to make more of those shots. Kareem was amazing on that right box down there when he got the ball down there. Just that sky hook was just ridiculous. But now LeBron's great. I'd love to see the Celtics come out tonight and win the game. Put a little bit of pressure on them because Golden State and the Cavs haven't even been tested at all.
Okay, here's one I got to ask you. I know since your schedule has ended and you've been nothing but T's and greens. I don't know how far you've been following this, but the other night, our boy Charles and Shaq get into a back and forth that seemed to get more than a little personal. And, of course, everybody wanted to go back to the night that they got into the fight, but then Shaq went back to that night and posted a picture that showed him blocking Charles' shot. A lot was back and forth. I don't know how much of you caught, but you work with these guys. And to me, it's shocking to me, but yet you work with them all the time. Is there tension that builds up? Is there something that's still there? Because they're both great guys separately, but it seemed like it really got personal for the second time in a while the other night.
And, they're both great guys. You're right. And you know what? They both really respect each other. I mean, but they just get heated up sometimes. And they start firing shots. And, neither one of them wants to back down. So, it gets a little bit heated. They both are just firing away at each other. Yeah, I saw that, and I really like them both. They're just wonderful, wonderful guys, and Charles is just the absolute best. But yeah, I even got uncomfortable a little bit. One level lower, fellas.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that's forgotten. I really do. I think pretty quickly that's forgotten, and they move on. The show gets out of the tight wire a little bit, and they start getting after each other. But at the end of the day, I don't think there's anything that I was all wondering. Under the bridge, and they'll be fine.
So you don't think it's going to be an awkward plane ride to Boston with all them on the plane together?
No, they'll be fine. They'll do just fine. I think they're all together. They'll be fine.
Thank God they got Ernie. He can kind of referee the whole
thing. Yeah, that's a big thing. Ernie knows. Ernie's got a great feel for that studio show. It's as good as anybody in the business by far, and he'll keep everything under control. And if they said to him, "Boy, that didn't come across well," and I didn't see from the reaction of all the fans. And a lot of times the fans really like that stuff. I think fans sometimes from the show really like guys getting after expressing their opinions. And you know, they might have got. I didn't see the play over the social networks, but what was thought about it by just the general public?
Well, one of the big takeaways was, hey, when you get into a fight with a guy, like when they did when they were in their playing days, that no matter how much you work with a guy, you know, you don't forget the fact that you once went to blows with him, and that kind of that will always kind of be like on the back burner. And I was interested to get your opinion on that because, you know, they both have Hall of Fame careers. I thought it was a little much that Shaq said that people questioned Charles being in the Hall of Fame, but it's one of the overriding factors, especially because it happened here in Houston. The fans were like, well, that all goes back to that fight. They can't let that go. They'll always remember that. It's always going to come up. And I was interested to get your take on that.
Yeah, no, I think I think a lot of that stuff you do let go, honestly. It's in the heat of the moment. They've worked together. They've been together a lot. So, I mean, that stuff, you know, you kind of go look back on it now. And you can laugh about it now, but at the time, it was dead serious. And those guys were competitors, but I think that's the next show that'll be forgotten and they'll move on.
Okay. Hey, Coach, are you going to be able to stick around for another segment?
I got to roll, boys.
All right. Well, who's winning? Who's winning tonight?
You know what? Gosh, my heart says Celtics, but my mind just goes back to Celtics. You know, were playing really well in game four, and then, you know, LeBron was struggling a bit from the field. When Kyrie Irving kind of gets on a roll like he got, ooh, man, they are hard to beat. That includes Golden State. I think Golden State's the best team, but I think Cleveland will get it. I sure hope the Celtics win and kind of stretch the series out a little bit. But if I had to bet, I'd bet Cleveland.
Well, your boy Danny's done a hell of a job because regardless, Brad Stevens looks like he was the right pick. And the team that he put out there capable of winning even without Isaiah Thomas was great. If you're the Celtics, are they keeping that pick? Or are they trying to move it to try and land a Paul George or a Jimmy Butler?
Well, I'm sure they're going after something. I would assume that he's going after the top three or four players in his mind that can help his team the most. You know, whether it be a Paul George, like you said, or a Jimmy Butler. I actually think it's Porzingis or someone like that. And I think he'll go out after some, you know, after the top guys that he thinks can really take this team to the next level. If he gets one of those guys, he will. I think he would do it. I don't know. You know, I don't know unless he hasn't shared that with me. But I'm sure that he's. I think some bigger guys. I think they could use a shot blocker around the rim and that. But I think if they don't get that, I think he'd be perfectly happy to draft one or trade that pick and move it 3 or 4 or 5, whatever. I think he's got a lot of options. And Danny's done a great job with that team. They also have cap space, so you know, look for the Celtics to really make a big improvement this summer, one way or the other.
There you have it. Coach, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Keep hitting them straight, and I'll check in with you.
All right, boys. Take care.
Kevin McHale right here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. We're up against it. We got a half hour to go on the show. Please join us, if you will, 713-780-ESPN, or hitting us up on Twitter. We're The Usual Suspects, and we will be back with more on ESPN 97.5.